appreciate so much being here. You have a great church. I think you know that, a great pastor. I'll be reading some passage of Scripture. I'll give them to you so you can be looking at them. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9 through 12. Then we'll go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 18 and 19. And then after Proverbs, we'll go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. And I'll try to give those. This morning, one of the young men said, Gene, tell us just a little bit about some of the things of World War II. First of all, I had the privilege of seeing what no soldier today has seen, two unconditional surrenders. On Saturday in May of 1945, Germany surrendered unconditionally. In September, I was over in the Pacific then, Japan surrendered unconditionally. There hadn't been an unconditional surrender since that day. If the men that fought in Korea or Vietnam, if the leaders had permitted, they'd have gone ahead and won it. There'd have been unconditional surrender, but that wasn't allowed. So I had that privilege, and I thank the Lord for that. Also, I wanted to give you something else. We saw a lot of bad things, and we saw a lot of good things. We took a town one night, and we set up a PA system and announced and said, if you'll surrender peaceably, we'll not hurt you. That night, the pastor of the church got up, his Lutheran church, and said to the people, let's pray that they'll surrender. But they didn't, and they hung him. The next morning when we went into town, he was swinging like a pendulum, hung by the neck. And we were touring the town, and I saw a lady sitting over there, and she had a shawl over her lap. And there was something that kind of bulged a little bit, and we were always cautious about it. So we went over, and I asked her to take the shawl off. And what it was her Bible. Her preacher had been killed that night before, and she had turned to the Word of God. I thought about that. And in that same building, they had a lot of prisoners of war, Germany did. And I had a friend, he was Nazarene Chaplain Moore, he and his brother from Arkansas. And one of the chaplains had been captured and was taken prisoner. The other chaplain and I, we'd pray night after night about that. And we was going down a building and rooms on either side. I was over here and and all of a sudden I heard him shout. I knew what happened. I went over there and lying in his own dung and urine was his brother. Ribs had been broken, his jaw had been broken by being kicked. And I saw something that reminded me of a song. I saw that brother reach down into that, pick him up and put him right to his chest, take him outside, and if you'll remember, all we had was a helmet to take a bath in. We bathed him, put some clothes on him. As we drove away, I got thinking about that. When he reached way down for me, reached way down in sin for me. And he just reached down in that, picked him up, and it didn't matter how he smelled or anything. And I thought, how God reaches down and saves us. Some of us were not too good, and he saved us. And then let me share another experience. I was talking to the pastor a while ago, we're living in pretty dangerous times. One day in Germany, We took a town, and I went to the house, a very fine, beautiful German house. And I told the lady, I said, now I'm going to set up office here. We'll not loot anything. We'll not steal anything. We'll leave the house just like it was. She invited us in. And one night, about 2 days later, she cooked supper for us. And after the supper was over, we went into the living room, and there's a big fireplace and a mantle across it. And I'll never forget, there were three pictures. Picture here, one over here, and one over here. And she said to me, soldier, this man, this picture right here is my husband. You Americans killed him. This is my son. The Russians killed him. And this is my son, and he's in one of your prison camps. And then she looked up and she made a statement. I don't like to use a word particular. But she said, young man, to be deceived is hell. To be deceived is hell. She said, what happened? Hitler came in, had a big band, built a big stand, and went up and had on flowing garments, and got up and said, we're the master race. We'll rule the world. And said, my husband, my two sons joined up, and I've lost all of them. Said, it's terrible to be deceived. And that's, we need to remember that today. To be deceived is a terrible, terrible thing. I never forget that. Before, while we went to the Philippines in Pacific, one day I sat in my tent, looked out across the rice of paddies, and I saw a light in there. On the 1st of November of each year, they have a special dedication service for all the dead. And I asked some of the men to go with me, and none wanted to, so I waded across about three or four rice paddies and got over. It was a cemetery, one of the largest cemeteries in that area. And I made my circle around and came to the end of it, and there was a lady over a newborn baby's little thing like that, little hump. She was laying on her stomach right here, just crying. And I spoke enough Spanish that I could speak to her, and I asked her to stand up, and she did. And I said, is that your baby? She said, yes. And over there, they bury pretty quick, said baby was born yesterday. And I said, well, I want to ask you a question. Do you hope to see that baby again? She said, sir, he's dead. I said, well, I'm talking about something better than that. And while I sat there and talked to her, I saw her talking about Jesus. I saw her face just like you had given her a facial of some kind. The brow was straightened out. The wrinkles were gone. And tears in her eyes. And she said, thank you. I'll see my baby again. What a blessing it is. So I had a lot of wonderful experiences. I told that young man today I could talk all night about it. But I want to talk today about a subject that I've preached from a time or two. I want to talk to you about the eagle. About the eagle. In the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32, if you want to turn there, I'll read a passage of Scripture and then look at the message. And the message I have is one that blesses my heart. If you ever go down to the Cape Kennedy, my son just retired from NASA, he and his wife. And as you go in on a tour bus, have you ever been down to Cape? Down, you know what I'm talking about? You go in on a tour bus. And before you get into the main part of it, over to the left is a big tall tree. And the eagles come back every year. And they have their young ones and so forth. And they'll call your attention to that. But in Deuteronomy, we read these words. And I like it. The Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land. And in the waste howling wilderness, He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. And then this statement, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth above her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And then I want to turn over to Proverbs chapter 30. If you want to turn over there, and I'll read that passage. I like it. He said this in word 8. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four which I know not. Number one, the way of an eagle in the air. The way of a serpent upon a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the way of a man with his maid. And then over into the book of Isaiah I go, and I want to read a passage of Scripture there that I hope will challenge your heart as it's in mine. I'd like you to underline this. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Even the youth shall faint and not be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But listen to this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They did run. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up. I like that. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I want to bring a message that God laid on my heart some time ago. I was over in Missouri. And over across another state, there's a place where a lot of eagles gather at times. It's a beautiful place to go and see. But there's three things you need to remember about eagle. Number one is, their birth is permanent, but not the birthplace. The birth is permanent, but not the birthplace. And secondly, the mother can fly faster than he can fall. And you'll see what I mean by that in just a little while. And then the third thing is that the eagle is as beautiful when he is old as when he's young. You've never seen an ugly eagle. They're always beautiful. I don't care where you see them or how old they are or something. The eagle is an unusual bird. He's a bird that can look right into the sun, lock his wings, and climb straight up. It's an amazing thing what he can do. He can dive, he can hover, he can careen, or he can just out there and look like he's standing still, perched on a rock somewhere. Beautiful, beautiful scene. And he flies, and sometimes you'll watch him, he'll never move his wings. He catches the wind draft. And I know a little bit about that, flying a glider. Have you ever flown a glider? They pull you off, then you get up and cut loose from the plane, and then you start circling. And I've been in a glider and climbing 100 feet a minute with no engine, just coming round and round as you catch. And you'll know when you have that wind current. And so this eagle knows that. And then another thing about them that I want to call your attention to. In June 20 of 1782, the Congress of the United States, remember 1777, so it wasn't old, decided on a national emblem, and they wanted something that would represent America, and they chose the eagle as still the national emblem, and they did it because of his courage, and because they're generally true to one mate most of their life. And there may be some exceptions to that. And the mother eagle is a little larger than the father eagle. And the reason of that is the father eagle helps in the incubator. He'll be on the nest and she'll be out looking for food to bring back. And so nature somehow made her just a little bit bigger than the male eagle. But here they are. And in Proverbs 30:29, it said he glides through the sky. He glides through the sky. I read these words about an eagle somewhere. He's a feathered monarch of the sky. He's king of birds. He is beautiful, striking as is. His wingspan, I've seen this, sometimes is 7 to 12 feet. He stands up 3 feet high, something like that. He's an animated thunderbolt. They've clocked him one time of flying at 120 miles an hour. In 1932, I used to read a magazine called the Atlanta Monthly. And the Atlantic Monthly was in Australia filming kangaroos. And the eagle stood up on the... They saw him flying around. And all of a sudden, he came into that dive, 120 miles an hour, and landed on the back of that kangaroo for just a minute and flew off. The kangaroo started spinning dizzily. And when they looked at him, his back was broken. That's some of the power that particular... I have pictures in my study, many of them, of an eagle attacking a jet airplane. Of course, it killed the eagle, but it brought the jet airplane down. What I mean, they're something else, you see. And then the altitudes that he goes to, and I'll talk about all this after a while. And the King Vision, I read just this week, where it said that the eagle sees what other birds cannot see. He's flying high. He sits somewhere on a perch and you look at him and he sees things that nobody else sees. He does that. And then there's the nest, and I like this part. The nest is built with a purpose. They don't just, a sparrow just makes a mess of a nest. You try to tear one of them up and you can't hardly do it. But the eagle does the same strange thing about the nest. He goes out and gets big branches, first of all, forms the nest. Some of them are 10 feet across. That one down in Florida is that way. And then she goes out and catches some more tender branches and brings them in and then put leaves or something. And then lastly, she'll kill a rabbit or something like that and bring into a fur-lined nest. And the little eagle is born into a fur-lined nest. I want you to think about that a little bit. But this is not where the little eagle... The eagle's a flyer, not a nester. And we need to read that. God expects you to grow. God expects you to grow. I remember the day I was saved, man, I thought everything was right. When I got out and faced the real world, I found some people didn't like what I believed, what I said, didn't like my Bible and all that. And you're not to stay in a fur-lined nest all your life. And you won't. If God has hold of you, won't do it. And so the place is selected, the nest is built, and then the eggs come and the eagles come, hatches, and so it is. And I got thinking about that. The construction is made. The birth is permanent, but the birthplace is not. We're to grow. God made us to do that. I looked in His library a while ago. God means for us to study. And I want to just ask a question. How many of you this last year at least bought one good book on the Bible to study it? Oftentimes, and I'll tell you about this in just a little bit, but we need to realize that that fur-lined nest is not where we're to stay all the time. Now, I wrote these words. Was I ever surprised when I entered the real world? I saw that. But the nest is made to be destroyed, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But while the little eagle's in that nest, he has to be fed. The mother goes out a lot of times and will bring in an animal, fresh food, fresh blood, whatever it may be. And I got thinking about that. So many times if we have something fresh, it'll kill us. I was in a revival, and the preacher got up and he said, I've had sandwiches and leftovers until if I had a good hot meal, it'd die. And I guess maybe that's about right. They can't live on leftovers. Heaven doesn't have any leftovers. And I think a church ought to be fresh. And the preacher ought to be fresh. And the singers ought to be fresh. And the people ought to be fresh. There's nothing wrong about being fresh that way. And I like that about that eagle. And so here he is now. And the mother watches him. And I wrote these words down. He said to that fur-lined nest, he said, Mama, feed me. And here she comes. A lot of Christians will say, Preacher, feed me. Give me a sermon. I expect that. Go home and forget all about it. And this little bird said, Mama, feed me. But the bird's mother is pretty wise. She watches that little eagle. She brings in that food and so forth. And she watches him. And it isn't long until the little eagle is growing. He's getting bigger. Really, some of the eagle is out over the nest. And she looks at him and she said, Son, you don't realize you're not made for a nest. You're made to fly. You're made to fly. But he hadn't realized that thing. And I got thinking about that, and I've watched this very thing. He doesn't want to step out. He likes it. It's fur-lined nest. And a lot of people just that way about it, I think about it. And, so she says, Son, listen. And one night she takes all that fur out. He goes to bed that night, and it's not comfortable. He says, Mama, it's not like it used to be. I hear that so many times. I'd like to have some old-time service or something. Well, you can have them, you know. And so the next day she goes in and pulls out all the leaves. And he goes to bed that night and he's resting on a thorn. He looks and he said, I'm completely unhappy. And I've seen this in the church. We need a new preacher. We need a new song leader. We need something else, you know. When you get unhappy, you're going to want something new that way. She said, Mama, it's just not like it used to be all the time. She said, Son, just wait. You haven't seen anything. I like that. You haven't seen anything yet. And so he gets up the next day, and she sweeps the whole thing, and he stands on the rock. He said, Mom, it's cold out here, and I don't like it. She said, you haven't seen anything yet. And so that day, that night, she said, Son, you've got to learn to fly. And to be stirred is the most terrible thing in all the world. And that day, she comes down and sits by him, and he said, Mama, it's cold here. I don't like anything about it. I'm disgruntled. And, of course, we don't have any Christians that way, but there's some eagles that way that get a little bit disgruntled about that and so forth. And she said, Good morning, son. He said, Humbug. I'm cold. I'm tired. I don't like anything about this. She looks at him and she said, Wait a minute. Next day she goes down and lands beside him, and she says, Son, get on my back. He crawls up on her back. It's warm there, that feather. And you talk about digging in, he digs in. He loves it. She soars and starts flying. And he's just happy, warm and happy. And then all of a sudden he looks over her wing, and it's 3,000 feet down to the ground. He said, Mama, let's go back. Let's get back. I don't like this. So she takes him back. And that night he likes the rock a lot better than he did the night before. But he's standing there, and the next day, she comes to him and says, "Son, get on my back." He said, "No way, Mama. No way. I'm going to stay right where I am." She said, "You will." Mays Jackson said, "Outside I wouldn't preach, but God made me preach," and that's right. And little eagle got up on that nest. And the mother eagle, and the Bible says that it stirs her nest and all of that, and we have pictures of this. That mother eagle starts flying, and it's so gracious. Those wings spreads, and he's flying. And suddenly she starts looking into the sun, and she starts a loop. I don't know if you've ever flown in a plane that made a loop or not. And it wasn't long until her stomach was facing the sky. And that little eagle was trying to hold on. He said, "Mama, what are you doing?" And finally loses out. And down he starts falling, head over heel. He said, "Mama, I'm dying. Nobody cares for me." I thought that way first sermon I preached. I thought, "I'm dying." I thought maybe that's all of it. "Mama, don't you care? Don't nobody love me anymore? Here I am falling. Mama, Mama." Woo! But he forgot one thing. She can fly faster than he can fall. And God can fly faster than you can fall, brother. You remember that very thing. And his mother just glides. I like that. Just glides along beside him. And he's screaming, "Mama, they're going to kill me. I'm going to die. Don't you care?" And after he's going about as far as he ought to, she comes under and he lands. You talk about digging in this time. He digs in. I mean, he digs in for safe. And he goes up to the bank, and they land, and he hops off. And these are Winfrey words. He said, "Mama, don't you ever do that again. Don't you ever do that again." I made that statement in St. Louis one time. I was in a meeting, and a little girl, St. John girl, her name, and she was about 5 years old. The next day they went down, there was parakeets for sale. Had a lot of them there. She walks up to one of those parakeets and said, "Mama, don't you ever do that again." I'll never forget her telling me about that. So the next day she comes, she said, "Son, on my back." He said, "No way. I've had all that I want." She said, "Son, get on my back." He's going to win. He's going to do that. And he gets on the back, and she goes up this time, and same thing, second or third day. And so then on the next day, he says to her, she said to that son, "Son, on your back there's two little things called wings. Use them. They're up there for a reason. And when you're falling, just spread them out." And that little eagle's falling that day, he remembers that. He spread those wings out, and all of a sudden, he stabilizes. "Man alive, this is great," he says. "It's stable." I had the privilege of leading my first soul to Christ just shortly after I was saved, and what a blessing it was. And he said, "Man, this is good." The next day went up, and she said, "Not only just put them out, start flapping a little bit." And then too long until she's out there, and he's beginning to fly. He said, and I want to tell you something, when you start getting close to God, you're going to find the best thing in all the world. You're going to get studying your Bible. You're going to love it. You're going to love what the preacher says, what the Sunday school teacher says. It's going to get better, better, and better. And I like that. As T.D. Burgess said, it's gooder and gooder and gooder. And I like that. And so now that she says, "Son, use those things. You have powers that God gave you to use for your glory and His glory." And one day she drops him. And he spreads those wings and he flies. What a beautiful thing it is. He's flying. Now then, he doesn't have to worry about rivers crossing. He flies over them. He doesn't have to worry about where he's going to eat. He knows where he's going to eat. And now the sky is his limit. Now then, everything's above him. I wrote an article just the other day. I'm optimistic. I'm happy about it. Somebody said, "How can you be in this day knowing Jesus Christ? The best is yet to come. I've only seen a part of it, neighbor. And I'm glad of this, not only when I'm going to heaven, but in this world, being here is to me a blessing. To preach is a blessing. Thank God for this pastor. I miss pastoring so much. But to serve God, to go out and tell people about Jesus, to read your Bible, to go to church, to become a part, to be baptized. There are a million wonderful things in the life of a Christian. And suddenly life becomes beautiful. And the bird realizes he was made to fly. You were made to be victorious. You were made to know about your Bible. You were made to sing. You were made to shout. You were made to listen to this pastor. God made you for that. He didn't make you sit in a desk somewhere and forget about it all. And that eagle is happy. He now then, a storm comes, he just flies above it. And when there's rivers to cross, he flies above it. He has everything at his command now. Life is so different. But in the eagle's life, if you'll study this, there's one time that is not beautiful. In middle age, he begins to mope. His feathers will grow long. His claws will do like that, and he just starts beating an animal. He can't do that. Everything about him. And he sits on a rock. He's unable to fly. He's unable to hunt. He's lost all of the joy. And he looks over and there's a cliff of rock. And he knows what he has to do. It's not easy to come back. If you've backslidden, it's not easy to come back. It's not easy to say you've made a mistake. It's not easy to say you're getting cold. It's not easy to do that. And that illegal will look at that rock. And he knows what he must do. It's built in. All of a sudden, he'll head that way. Head first, and that beak will hit that. And it'll start breaking off. You've had a fingernail back in the quick, and you know how it hurts. And his beak breaks off. Next day, he gets up and flies with his claws until they start breaking off. There's pain in everything that he does. And then, I have pictures of this. He takes his feathers, and he goes over there and beats until the feathers, they're bloody feathers, until he looks a terrible mess. But then something happens. That beak starts forming. Those claws start forming. The feather starts coming. And all of a sudden, he's able to fly again. If you've gotten away from God, there's a way to come back. It's not easy. It's not easy to walk down the aisle and say, I've made a mistake. It's not easy to say, I've lost the power. It's not easy to say, I'm out of the Spirit. It's not easy to do that. But I'll tell you one thing, there's joy beyond all of it, if you will. We need to make that decision in our life to say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Be what you want me to be. Go where you want me to go. Complete, total surrender is the life of a child of God. What a joy it is. And this eagle now is so free. The mountains mean nothing. He flies over them. He soars to heights that no other bird ever saw. He's up there above. I've flown airplanes and look out and see eagles flying along my level there. He reaches heights. There are places he can go. There's no fear. There's no bird. He never is attacked by another bird. Never in his life. He knows what it is. He never misses a meal because everything. When a man's right with God, you have everything in your favor. Juan and I have been married 70 years. We're not rich people, but God's blessed us. We've got a good home. We've got an automobile, a 2005 model. But everything we have is paid for. God will take care of you. We used to sing, God will take care of you. And God will do it. I can't understand all of it. But I want you to know one thing. You're a child of God. And God's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. He's made you His child. And I think God wants to bless. And I think about Juan and I, what all God has done for us. And I was going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. But I was over in another state and a story was given to me. A farmer had found an eagle's egg, and he put it out there, and it hatched a little eaglet. And he put it out in the chicken yard, but the eagle was not able to do what the chicken. He's not made to scratch like a chicken. His beak's not made to do like a chicken. He was a lonely bird. And that farmer told me, he said, you know, I'd look out there, and that eagle just be over there kind of like he's been left alone. He said, one day I saw him sitting on top of the little hen house, and said he scanned the skies. And said all of a sudden I looked up and a couple of eagles were soaring. And if you've ever been around eagles, they can shriek, they have a cry. And said out of the heaven came the call, that shriek. And said that little eagle turned and lifted his arm. And said that cry kept coming, they circled. And in a moment, said he lifted his wings. And from the barnyard he left the chickens. In the barnyard and said, last I saw him, he was flying up there. And I got to thinking about this. God can take you out of the chicken yard. He can take you out of the worldly places. He can take you out of the places you ought not to be. And He can set you back up where you ought to be, where you ought to be flying for the glory of God. And she said, He said, you know, I saw that eagle. I saw him leave the chicken yard. And I said, thank God he's going home. And I'm glad God called me out of the chicken yard. Brother, I never have had a drink of whiskey. I've never had a bottle of beer. Taste it one time. It sounded like slop. I didn't think I was pig enough to drink it. I didn't have never had a drink of whiskey, a bottle of beer. I've never had that in my life. I've never known what it was to curse a lot. I've never known anything about any woman but my own wife. I tell you, it's good to live a Christian life. Be what God wants you to be. Be pure. Be true. And you'll never have any regrets. You don't have any hangovers coming. You don't have anything about somebody coming up and saying, I've done this or I've done that. You know you're right with God. And that little eagle flies along up there. He knows this. He's above everything else. And sometimes Juan and I drive down the highway and she sings. I love to hear her sing. And we start singing and get thinking about praising God and tears in our eyes. At night sometimes we pray. At the meals we pray. I'm a child of God. I've been taken out of the chicken yard. The world doesn't attract me anymore. Somebody said, well, Gene, what about temptation? I don't want to sound facetious, but brother, beer doesn't tempt me. Dancing doesn't tempt me. I've never been on a dance floor in my life. None of that. I found God. I found in Him everything I wanted. I found that. I left the rodeo world and I found in God everything I wanted. Everything I need is in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The joy I've wanted. Thank God. I told Juana yesterday, I can hardly wait to get out there to preach tonight because I love God. The joy of serving Him. The joy of living for Him. The joy of singing. We sang a while ago. There's nothing like that song. I like that. It's a beautiful song. I love that. There's power in the blood. Man alive, that just makes me want to shout hallelujah right now. Something goes up and down my bones here. I just feel it. It makes you a child of God. You say, preacher, thank God for that message today. It was right what I needed. That song was just the thing I needed. I saw the pianos playing and I said, thank God for somebody. I looked at those fingers and I don't know how they do that. But I thank God, brother, to live a Christian life is the most glorious thing in all of the world. Disappointments, yes. Disappointments, yes. I remember in the Army, he told you about this day. The war was over in 1945. I put up a tent right outside of Paris where the soldiers came back for R&R, whatever that was. And I put up a tent and worked hard on it. And here's the amazing thing about it. The government paid for the car I drove, the clothes I wore, the tent I put up, the books that were there. I'm glad one time our government was that way. And he paid for everything he had. And I put that tent up and some fellows helped me. And it's come Saturday night and I went out by a hedgerow and I got on my knees and I started praying. When dawn came, I was still out there praying. Thank God for that. And that Sunday morning, the tent was filled. There were Germans. There were German people as well as soldiers all around it. Invitation was given. You talk about joy. You talk about joy. I saw soldiers come and get on their knees and start praying. Lifting their hands like this, tears streaming down their eyes. Whew. Brother, to be an old-time Christian, be an old-time service, there's no other joy on earth like it. No other joy like it. And I watched them, and God blessed. Went in that afternoon, captain called me and said, preach, I want to talk to you. I went into the office and sat down. He said, preach, I want to ask you something. He said, I saw that thing today. Men were crying, tears streaming down their cheeks. Soldiers had their hands lifted up and they're praying. And he said, I don't understand. I said, well, Captain, you're not a Christian. You wouldn't understand the work of the Holy Spirit. But you know what he said to me? He looked right and he said, you're our chaplain from here on out. Just like that, from a staff sergeant to a chaplain, God will take care of you. God will provide for you. He's a good God, a great God, and a merciful God. And I said, thank you, Captain. Thank you for that. What a joy it is. As an eagle mounts up, he said, I'll take you and lead you. Juan and I don't have a lot, but we're living on a mountaintop. We live on a mountaintop. She sings, and I thank God for it. I have everything I want. My children are good. And even though it's a bad nation, churches are growing. People are being blessed. Folk are being saved around this world now. God hasn't left us. God isn't dead. He's still on the throne, brother. Whether it's in Ethiopia, I have work over in Ethiopia, and they just opened a dental school. The first time there's ever been a dental school in Ethiopia. And the 22 have already passed the examination to become the dentist. And God began to bless. Over 2,000 people found Jesus Christ. Whew, we're not in a dead thing. We're in a living thing. God's still blessing. He's still saving. He's still calling people to preach. He's still calling missionaries. God's still on the throne. Whatever the government does, whatever they want to do, that's all right. But I'm glad I serve a living God that's on the throne, that still blesses, that still touches, that still sets you on fire, that still brings tears to your eyes, that wants to lift your hand and shout. That's the kind of God I know and I serve. It'll work for you. It'll work for everybody. This is what God wants to do. He's a good God. And in the eagle, we see everything I've talked about just now. What a blessing. When I fly, I'm always thrilled. And I see that eagle just making his circling around, flying above all the little birds, flying above a world that's ungodly. And sometimes Juan and I just praise God. Brother in our home, G. Campbell Morgan, you've read his. G. Campbell Morgan's dad came one day and said, son, I've been through your house and I don't see anything that represents God. And G. Campbell Morgan said, I went and bought pictures and Bibles and everything else, put in every room. Let people know that you love God. Don't be ashamed. Young people, don't be ashamed. Whether you're in university, where you are, tell people you love God, and it'll bless your heart, and it'll be a blessing to them. God wants men that'll mount up like eagles and fly and not be weary. God wants us to be strong. We're not for fur-lined death. We're made to fly. We're made to live for God. We're made to shout. We're made to be victorious. That's what God called us to be. That's what God wants us to be. Today, I want you to say, Lord, I want to be an eagle. I want to be an eagle. Father, I've just poured my heart out because Juan and I have been married 70 years. We've been happy. We've wept together. We've shouted together. We've prayed together. And I want to thank you, Lord, that there's a better way than the world knows. There's a way that's pure. There's a way that's clean. There's a way that has no bad memories. There's a way of love that the world does not know. And I'm glad you're calling us. Thank you for this pastor and his faithfulness, his wife, to this church. Thank you for it. Lord, I'm so grateful that I found you. Rather, you found me in 1940, and you've been with me. You was with me during the war. You was with me there in times it looked like we was going to die. You was with me after that. You was with me when I was in university. You was with me then, Lord, when we built our first church. You've been with me day by day, hour by hour. As I feel that right now, I can sense the power and the presence of God. You're a living God. You're a living power. And in our lives, you want to count. Count on me. Count on this preacher. And Lord, I pray that every member here will say, I want to be an eagle Christian. While heads are bowed, Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of preaching here today. I want to thank you for the relationship that you've given to Juan and I, to yourself. I'm glad, Lord, we can know you and love you, adore you. Thank you, Lord, for the times I sit at that computer sometimes, start writing. Tears fill my eyes. I sit there and weep before that computer. I'm glad, Lord, that we have something that's so real, that it just blesses us, thrills us. And many times in a letter I write, I'll say the tears are flowing down my cheek. I'm glad, Lord, we have something that's real, that's living, that's precious, that's good. You want to take care of us. And I thank God for that thing. And I pray now for this congregation. I want the preacher to come stand and the song leader to come. And while you're just praying, I want to pray one more prayer. While they're coming, Father, I want to thank you so much for being invited to this church. I want to thank you what you did for me in 1940. I want to thank you what you did for us in 1942 when we were married. I want to thank you for our first child. I want to thank you for our second child. The pastor showed me pictures of his daughters a while ago. I want to thank you for our third child. I want to thank you for the grandchildren. I want to thank you for a dad that loved God and a mother that loved God and a father-in-law and a mother-in-law that loved God. You've been good to me, Lord. If I go home right now, it's been worth it all. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for loving, caring, blessing, giving, keeping. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet, if you will, just a moment. If you know God's blessed you, if you've mounted up above the world, and you know you're living in heaven's sunlight, and you know that God's good to you, maybe you ought to come and just praise Him. Thank Him for your wife. Thank Him for your children. Thank Him for your husband. Thank Him for the pastor He's giving you here and his wife. I think today if we do right, several would come to the altar and get on their knees and say, Lord, thank you for the eagle spirit that you gave us. I ask this in Jesus' name.